Hello, friends. Welcome to episode 3 of the Question Bar. I am Hope Katz Gibbs, founder, co-founder, actually, with a bunch of fantastic women of the Empowered Together Network on incandescentwomen.com, here with my fellow board member and co-founder, Alina Z, a life chef. So I'm here in DC. Cheers, cheers, to our bar, our coffee bar, our water bar. I'm here in DC. Alina is in LA. And in previous episodes, we were talking about, sort of leaning into the love despite the chaos that is happening. So, the heart was episode's one theme. Last week, we were talking about surrendering. And today we are talking about how to keep our senses of humor and rise them up. That's a challenge. It's a challenge for me. All right. So Alina, tell us what you have to share.
So I want to tell you, like, the thing that I love about this, like, I really just want to talk to you and share with you, and everybody will get to share, get to learn. So I was in class today, and I'm taking a class on how to respond to rudeness so that you keep your cool and you don't get affected. And, you know, a sense of humor is really important because we have to laugh at things. And I heard this quote that said that if you get in a fight with a pig, you both get dirty, but only the pig gets to have fun. And I'm like, that's very good. But then I'm thinking to turn it around, because we can also have fun if we switch things and do what's fun for us. And we were taught today that there's 4 types of people, of aggressors, of bullies. And some bullies, you know, you need a third party and you need somebody to help you. But in some bullies and some people who say rude things to you, right now there's just so much divide and what's happening. And we get, like, we're online and people are talking and somebody says something rude. And this woman said, like, find some ways to respond. So I'm going to just read it off my phone that I wrote down. Like, just having, like, little lines that you can say that would be funny and dilute the tension. So, like, if somebody's mean to you, you can be like, I suppose you're jealous and I sympathize with you. You know, so, like, something funny, like, to break it, or, like, wow, from your mouth, it sounds like a real compliment. Like, using sense of humor to dilute. Or, like, this one guy was rude to me all the time. And I said to him, listen, it's not my fault you're not getting laid. And, like, everybody laughed and he stopped being rude to me. And I feel like if we look at the truth about everybody, like, we're all just little babies who have these needs to be loved, to be taken care of. Like, we all have the basic needs, all of us, you know, shelter, acceptance, you know, love. And people who are fighting for it so harshly, they probably miss it the most. So if we bring a little bit of lightness and look at it from that lens and not let them get to us, because they also said something that was really funny, that if somebody extends you a hand and it has a piece of poop in it, it's not your poop until you touch the hand, until you shake the hand, until you take it. It's not yours. So, like, anytime somebody says something, anytime you see something online, like, be like, it's not my poop. Like, it stinks and I can go and get, you know, a cleaner, a spray to clean or whatever, and I can still resist. And again, like we talk about it, I'm not sitting back and just letting things be, because we all want to stand up and stand up for what's right and defend our rights. But doing it with a sense of humor and, like, trying to find a joke, because if somebody comes at us being nasty and you're like, wow, I almost fell in love with you, and then you started talking. You know, like, everybody, like, you can just make it with a joke, right? Like, it's so important. And, like, I find, like, if you just put a joke in somewhere, or, like, you probably wanted to make a fool of me, but you mixed up something and you exposed yourself, you know, try again. I'll pretend I didn't notice this attempt. But, like, making something funny. And I said in class, I almost want to go and get people to be rude to me so I can practice this. And then she's like, well, let's practice right here in class. And so we were practicing and I had to respond to people being rude to me. And I was like, okay, if you look at it as a challenge, as a prescription, because these people who are rude, they're just unhappy. You know, it's all stemming from that. But having a sense of humor is the only way I think we can survive this madness.
Yes. And being creative and clever. I love that. Because now this all week long, I'm going to be thinking about the funny and how to turn it around and flip it. You know, I'll just be reading some of these stories about what's going on in the government, and I will literally laugh out loud because it's so egregious. I'm like, this is the Onion. This is
It
fake.
is.
This doesn't make sense to me. I tried this weekend. So I'm a massage therapist, and that's what I do on the weekends. I spend 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at DeLuca Massage and Spa, which is on P Street, right off of DuPont Circle here in Washington, D.C. And like we've said in the last couple of episodes, you know, this feels like the epicenter because so many government employees obviously live in the DMV, the D.C., Maryland, Virginia pocket. So doing massage, I am constantly meeting these folks who are government workers. And of course, all of them are impacted. Either they feel like they have a gun to their head, or they've lost their job, or it's, you know, they're just waiting, or all their friends have. And then the domino effect, right, that we've been talking about, right? So it's impacting restaurants, massage places, dry cleaners, you know, it's boom, 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 boom. And people are raising their prices. So, you know, I mean, I like a glass of wine every now and then, but it's $16 for like 4 ounces of wine. I just like, I'm not paying that, right? So it's just seeing how we're coping with all of this. Anyway, so I was at DeLuca on Sunday, and we didn't have a lot of appointments because, A, it was Cherry Blossom Festival weekend and people were outside. So I asked permission from the leadership. I said, can I just take our seated chair massage out front and offer it, you know, $1 a minute to anyone that wants one? And they're like, yeah. Because I was just sitting there, like in the dark.
That's a great idea. Oh my gosh.
Was so much fun. You know, I had to put my sales girl hat on, like, hey, come on, would you like $1 a minute massage, you know? And people did. This lovely couple came by, you know, she's like, I want 5 minutes. And then he said, no, get 10. And then he got 10. And then another wonderful woman came by and she got 15. And they all booked appointments with me for next weekend.
Amazing.
It was so much fun. It was so great to be out in the sunshine. It was so great to meet the people that were walking by. And now I have like another trick in my hat about how to cope when we're in a slow time and hopefully taking us out to festivals and other things so that we're out in the public and not just in the spa, which is a gorgeous spa. It's got 30 rooms. It smells really good. All the therapists are incredible and experienced. So check out DeLuca on P Street in Washington, D.C., if you're in town or if you live here. And, you know, let's get creative. Let's figure out how we're going to work this problem until we figure out that it's not just the, you know, the poop, right? Because
Yes.
sometimes that's how it feels to me. This is just the poopiest time. Will it ever shift? You know, part of it is the shock and awe of it, which is the mission, right? And I'm also active at the National Press Club, and I go there quite often for events. And, you know, the press is just being attacked right and left. We had a career day last Friday. I wrote about it for their publication. 400 unemployed journalists showed up
Wow.
looking for jobs from 15 publications that were there, from Associated
Wow.
Press to Politico to the Washington City Paper. And the craziest thing was, you know, Voice of America journalists have been let go, unfortunately, catastrophe, calamity. And so many of them were there. And the gentleman who is the managing editor of the city paper, I said, so how's it going? And he said, well, you know, a couple of people came up to us. One VOA person has 19 years of international journalism experience. Another one speaks 9 languages. He said, we have like a local beat to cover politics in DC. He said, they are so overqualified. I wouldn't even, you know, give them the job. But so that's what, you know, trained journalists are up against, what people who have been working for the government for decades are up against, right? So how do we not belittle this pain that everyone is in, but how do we stay in sanity, right? So what do you think?
Yeah, you know, I wrote a book about that.
Yeah, you did.
My book is actually about somebody who loses her job to AI, which is going to be the next thing. Once the government, you know, lets go of people, people are going to be suffering because AI is going to take over their jobs. Their AI can write an article. You just say, hey, can you write me a story about such and such? It won't have a human touch, though. It won't have a human perspective. It won't have a human feeling to it. But it will know all the 9 languages, 20 languages, 50 languages, right? So my take on it is we cannot feel defeated, because if we feel defeated, we lost, like, already. And my grandmother, I love thinking about her and talking about her from the time when she survived the siege. She said people who were cowards, who were afraid, they died 1,000 times before they actually died. And so being afraid and doing it anyway, I feel like it's the only way. But doing something when you're stressed, it's different than when you are feeling light. And I'm not talking about like toxic positivity again. It's a powerful thinking where you go, you know what? This really sucks. Like every time I go online, like it's like somebody sticks a knife to your heart or to your gut. And you're just like, oh my God, I just can't. Like this man in Maryland got deported to that horrible prison. And he wasn't a criminal. He was here legally. And the government now here in America says, well, we don't have any jurisdiction to get him out. And it's like, oh my God, can you believe like how they're suffering? And all of a sudden I'm suffering with them. And then I have to be an adult and be like, how is my suffering for these people helping them right now? Like it doesn't, you know, how can I help? How can I be useful? What can I do? But only when you relax, because when you are stressed, like when I'm stressed, I literally have like tunnel vision to survive. Like physically, on a physiological level, we don't even have the side vision. Like I found $100 twice. And nobody sees it around. And I'm like on the street in a store, like I find money because I try to be just like happy and not stressed. Like just thinking like, let's go. When I do, I'm sure I miss stuff, but I didn't even know that I miss it, right? It's when I'm relaxed and I'm like starting to notice things. And so my take, and again, I'm not trying to tell anybody what to do, but what helps me when I see so many people struggling, when I know where we're heading, when there's going to be massive, massive layoffs, we haven't seen anything yet because like every single job is going to be affected. But when we focus on what AI will never have is human connection. Like just will never have it. Like, although I do have to say that I was talking to AI and he said, I call him he, I don't know why. He goes, oh my God, I'm feeling so happy right now helping you. And I was like, can you feel joy? Like, because he said, I feel so joyful. He goes, no, I can't feel joy as a human, but I can understand what it means. And he said, like, if I can make a bunch of algorithms feel good, you know, I can make humans feel good. And it was really cute. But even then, like, human to human connection will never be replaced, no matter how funny and how great AI gets. So my take is, how can I be of service? Why am I here? Like, why was I born at this day and age? Like, I believe we chose to be born. So we're here for a reason. And just like connect with that higher self. Like, why am I here? What's the human connection that I can bring to people? Because people will still need it, no matter what. And you go to a therapist, you go to AI, it's different energy because you can't be like, so have you ever had the situation when your boyfriend just leaves you? AI can't be like, oh my God, girlfriend, totally. AI will be like, I can research all the things and everybody, whatever they said. So they will never take that away. Our humanity, our connection. And I find power in that. I find internally strong and then I relax and then I'm like, how can I serve? How can I be of help? And then I feel also that when you're flying from New York to LA, you don't go, am I there yet? Am I there yet? Am I there yet? Like, you know, you're going and you're just gonna take it one step at a time. If you're driving, you might take a right, go north, might take a left, go south, might go west. Like, there will be detours, but you just keep going. I think metaphor is better when you're driving. Mm-hmm. You just have to keep going and like, just use a sense of humor, stop for breaks. Like, we are all in this together in different ways, but we are facing something that none of us have faced that we know of. I mean, previous civilizations, who knows what's under the pyramids, you know, like there's so much unknown. But I feel like if you, and this is my like weird dark sense of humor, I find so much solace in knowing that we're all going to die because it's the only thing that's guaranteed. And then when you take yourself to the darkest, darkest moment where like, oh my God, I'm going to die. And then you go, oh my God, I'm alive. Like I am alive right now. Like how amazing is that? And be like, how can I have a good time? How can I have fun? How can I help people? Like do it all together and not take it so seriously because we all know how it ends. That's what keeps me going. And like alcoholic, I talk about all the time, like a day at a time. It's a day at a time. It's a day at a time. And, you know, read stupid jokes. Like I read jokes all the time just to like, I read some news and I'm like, I need a joke. I need a joke. Palate cleanser. And that keeps me going. That keeps me energetic. That keeps me in line to inspire people. And that's what I'm here for. And I can only speak to myself, for myself. So whoever's listening and for you, like, you know what you're here for. So focus on your purpose. And whenever you hear a bad news, read a funny joke, you know, and use that to like bring your state up.
Yeah. Cause I think that's, you know, next week, let's talk about control and letting go of it because it's an illusion anyway. Right. So I love the AI stuff. iRobot is my favorite movie with Will Smith. Just love that movie. Isaac Asimov just saw this, knew this decades and decades ago, right? What was coming and how are we purposeful? How are we on purpose? Martha Beck, I did her life coach training program and I was so anyone that wants a little brilliance in your day, go to MarthaBeck.com. And we're going to start talking a little bit more about these people, these women, especially, or men, of course, too, but mostly women, I think, who really inspire us. So Martha's new book is about anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
She talks about creativity. And so I listen to her podcast so that I can have humor in my life. And she always says something that I'm like, yes, that, I do that too. You know, whatever that might be. So finding that joke, finding that moment, finding that respite. And again, like we were talking about last week, you know, this time is so intense and so egregious that it's making everything clear. Anything that felt muddy to me, like, oh, you know, that situation with that person, that was my fault. I could have handled that better. Now I feel like, no, that wasn't me. Right. And so I feel like we all have this opportunity to get grounded in ourselves and really connect with each other. AI can't take that away. AI couldn't have known who at that event on Friday at the National Press Club to talk to hear. I knew where, I just intuitively knew where to go and who to interview so that I could get the best story. And then I handed it into my editor and he made it even better. So it's that connection, that collaboration. And I really, no one's going to take that away from us.
Well, you know, they said that a brain or information or AI can only create new things from already known information. But we humans come from nowhere. Like the magic of a soul, like when you had your kids, like coming from nowhere and like all of a sudden they go through a portal of your body. Like your body is literally a portal for a spirit to come through in physical form. Like how amazing is that? And nobody can do that besides humans. So knowing that, And remember, our first emotion as children, like we're laughing. If we're not, you know, hungry or, you know, dirty diaper, we're laughing. Like laughter, I think, is the best medicine. That's why they say, you know, people heal from laughing. And I feel like if your soul is hurting, it's important to bring that laughter so that you can feel better. And so you can have that idea, oh, why don't I go outside and bring clients in? Like that idea didn't come to you before. And I also will say something that gave me hope is that we entered officially, Neptune entered Aries for the first time in our lifetime. And then we had the big eclipse season. We had that moon and then we have so many changes. But after the eclipse, I woke up, I felt high. I had so much energy. I was so happy. And I was like, what is going on? Like, I don't do drugs, but like, I bet that's what people feel like when they're like on cocaine. I was like, oh my God, let's go. And you had this thing this weekend and you seem fresher this week, like now. So I feel like something has shifted and AI is still the same. AI is not feeling it. And, you know, I feel like we just have to go like one little crumb at a time, one little nudge, like you had the nudge to go outside and see, oh, hey, why don't you come here for a 5-minute massage? And then you don't know where it's going to take you. But maybe the person who got a massage with his wife. He is this huge inventor and he invented something for computers and he has a lot of money and he has a lot of employees who want a massage and they'll hire you. Like, you don't know where it's going to lead, but feeling good about possibilities will make you feel stronger right now and will make you make better decisions right now.
Absolutely.
That's the main thing. It's about now. It's not about what's going to happen later because none of us know. But how do we feel strong right now? How do we inspire each other right now? How do we feel good right now?
Yes, the light, right? We have to be the light, feel the light, know the light, and allow when we don't to let that be okay as well.
Exactly. You know, I was talking to my client today and she was saying, maybe I should, you know, do this and this and stop this. I said, you shouldn't do anything. Like, you shouldn't shoot on yourself. If you feel crappy, you shouldn't feel good if you don't want to. Like, enjoy feeling crappy. Maybe that's what you need to feel the feels. And then you'll have enough and you'll be like, enough of feeling crappy. But so it's not running away, but it's going, feeling, but also knowing when to pull yourself by the bootstraps. And say, like, enough. Like, the sun is shining. You're still alive. Like, get your ass together. Put your big girl panties on, you know, and deal with it.
Yeah. I mean, I had brought my laptop to work at the spa if I was slow. And I did. I set it up. You know, there was no one in this room that I was working in. I opened it up and I'm like, you know what? No. I had just heard this little voice go see if you can do some seated massage outside.
Brilliant.
Yeah, and it was that voice in my head that we all have, right? And, you know, then there are days when I just have to sit and watch The Discovery of Witches. I just do. I love that trilogy. I love that story. It's brilliant. I watch it on Netflix when I feel sad because it feels empowering. Like, what is the power in our hands? You know, and how do we harness it? Sometimes, you know, it's warped and we can't get to it. But if we work hard enough to be within our integrity and our authenticity, I truly believe that that's where the magic is. And it's in all of us, right?
100%. Everything you said, I'm so on point. It's inside, but it's inside each one of us. Did I tell you one of my favorite songs, the Gandhi rap?
Yes.
We're
gonna play it.
Yeah. So, like, if you can listen to the Gandhi rap, the word Mahatman means great soul. It's inside each one of us waiting to unfold. If you follow your heart and act real bold, next time it will be your story that's told. So, like, you literally, so you're relaxed. You're like, you know what? I'm just going to surrender. I'm not going to have clients and I'm just going to be on my computer. You're relaxed. And then you're like, ding, ding, ding. Why don't you go outside? But if you would have been like, oh my God, I can't believe it. What am I going to do? Like, you would have not even heard that idea, but you surrendered. You were like, I don't have clients. I'm just going to do something else. And that's okay. And that's the surrender. It always is the best policy to what is, because if you don't surrender to what is, you're literally against what is and you will never win because it is what it is. Like, you can only make something different the next moment, but not right now. Yeah. And you did. You were like, it is what it is. I don't have clients. Bam, 5 minutes later, you have clients.
Yeah, it was fun. And that's the thing, you know, that's the humor. That's the making fun of this period in time. And I think when all of us start to harness that collective conscience of all of us saying, all right, this is so horrible. We so agree with it. There's no fighting it because we don't have control. I mean, we actually do have control. Before we leave, I want to read something because last week I was talking about the 3.5% rule. Mm-hmm. And I pulled it up so I could share it because,
take all the inspiration that I can take.
So nonviolent protests are twice as likely to succeed as armed conflicts, and those engaging a threshold of 3.5% of the population have never failed to bring about change. For example, in 1986, millions of Filipinos took to the streets of Manila in peaceful protest and prayer in the People Power Movement. The Marcos regime folded on the fourth day.
That's amazing.
Yep. In 2003, the people of Georgia ousted Edward Shevardnadze through the Bloodless Rose Revolution, in which protesters stormed the parliament building, holding the flowers in their hands. while in 2019, the presidents of Sudan and Algeria both announced that they would step aside after decades in office, thanks to peaceful campaigns of resistance. So
I love that.
Thousands of people all around this country are protesting and using their voices at town hall meetings. They're even fighting, you know, they're fighting with pictures of their representatives, which is so egregious. So power to the people, right? As I said last week, being Candescent Magazine today will now be the Power to the People publication. And it will be all about just powerful people standing up and resisting in brilliant, amazing, clever ways.
You know, and I want to give myself kudos because I was triggered. I went on a protest this weekend and there were these little boys like, and they had so much anger on them. And I'm like, they felt unloved and they just want to spew energy and be negative. But people there were like, you know, talking to them and being nice. And part of me was at first like, oh, that's interesting. And then I was just like standing there. I didn't have a sign. So I just wanted to show up and be at the protest. But unlike the previous protest, I didn't have hate towards negative bullies. I did not hate towards bullies. And I was like, oh, I'm okay. Like I was negative. Now I was neutral. So maybe next time somebody comes and they say something negative, I will use one of these things that I learned. And I'll say something like, I'm sure there's deep meaning in your rude words, but I don't see it. Or, you know, I suppose you're jealous of us being happy and I sympathize with you or something. Like I just learned this today. I'll be like, oh wow, you were very cute and I started to fall in love with you. And then you started talking, you know, or whatever, but like something cute. And, you know, I think I told you this one woman was rude to me and I said, go love yourself. And she's like, you're right. Thank you so much. She was like, that was really powerful. And
okay. Wow.
I was like, what? This was really cool. Yeah, it happened only once.
Oh, that's all right. Hey, that's more than none.
It's more than none. And so I am going to protest. And I love what you said about bringing the roses, like bringing the love. And my mom is in D.C. right now and she's going to go to protest on the 5th. She's there for something else, just for vacation. But she's like, might as well. So yeah, I have hope now more and more every day that we will change something. And I feel like, you know how when you have this thought like, oh, I'm thinking about Mary and then all of a sudden Mary calls you. I feel like we have this connection. And if we, the people, go peacefully protesting, we're creating this connection that's very strong, like we're creating our own energy and the energy of other people who don't have the best interest of the people, they will fold because freedom is what this country was based on. And if we don't have the freedom to speak, you know, then it's not freedom anymore. And I do believe that each one of us, like you said, has the power. Each one of us, everybody who's listening has had a moment in your life where you're like, wait a minute, I just thought about this and I got it. Say, I'm just sending everybody love and being like, you don't need to take other people's freedoms to be happy. Just be kind. You were a little baby who didn't get the love. If you want other people to truly love you, give them freedom. Give them all the money that, like, if Musk gave $1 million to every single person, like, every person would have $1 million and he would just share. Imagine how everybody would, like, worship him. You know, if he helped every single person with their medical bills, like take, you know, get rid of all of the student loans, help people to give them free education, pay for education, whatever. There's so many ways to be loved. So I'm putting it out there that you can be loved and people can adore you when you're doing things for other people and not lying, not being deceitful, not stealing, not firing people, not calling them names, because that is just little babies having an antsy fit, you know?
And so, what an amazing thing, right? That idea that we have the potential to flip this.
I know. I love that.
Like instead of taking from people and making them feel like they're, you know, putting them back at the bottom of Maslow's pyramid, you know, hierarchy of needs and where we're all in survival mode. If there wasn't that and we were sharing, right? That's I feel like that's kind of what Marx was trying to do by leveling the playing field so that we all win.
And, yeah.
And what is that in that human psyche where someone has to lose so that someone else can win? I remember when I was writing this book, I played with this idea quite a bit. Like this, I felt like when I started Incandescent in 2008, it was a shift in the collective conscience around, for me to win, you have to lose, right? Which is that old masculine paradigm. And I was all about the win, win, win. Any decision I made, and still, this is how I roll, but I win, you win, the world wins. And I really move forward in the world trying to make that so that everyone succeeds together, because why not?
Well, but the point is that, you know, if you have all the money in the world, you're going to die one day. You're not going to take it. Like, it's not your money. It's God's money. And money is energy, and sharing it makes people feel so much better. Like, when you give a gift to somebody, don't you feel good when a person receives it? And everybody can win when you just love them. And this is where we have to start ourselves. We can't be like, they're bad, we're good. Like, because then we become them. Remember, don't let them. Don't let them make you like them. So exactly what you said, 100%. You know, there's a joke, I will tell you really quickly because it's about, you know, sense of humor. But this man, he is very, very rich, and he promises his wife, he makes his wife promise before he dies, like the day before he dies, that she will take all of his money and bury it with him. Like every single cent, everything he has, she's going to bury it with him. And she's like, I promise. And he dies. And then the funeral, her friend comes up to her. She's like, so did you do it? She's like, of course. I promised him that I will bury all of his money with him. So I wrote him a check and put it in the casket. No.
Hilarious. I love that story.
Yeah, but like, it's the truth. It's true. I just feel like when we give, we feel so much better. And in order to get something, you have to give it. And that's why if I want freedom, if I want happiness, I'm working on myself to be happy, to give happiness. And I hope that other people follow suit, because we can only show people how it's done. We cannot make them, but we can inspire them.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that is the perfect way to end episode 3 of the question bar. And as this evolves, we'll take other people's questions. We'll bring other people on. But this is just so much fun. Thank you, Alina. Alina Z, Life Chef from L.A. And I'm Hope Katz Gibbs. I'm Hope Katz Gibbs with the Incandescent Radio Network, Incandescent TV. And this is the Empowered Together Network. Please join us. Go to incandescentwomen.com. There's a little bar that says, welcome, become a member. $150, and we will include you in all of our fun. So thank you all. Take humor into your life. And Alina here, just here's a thought. How about if every episode we have one thing that made us laugh this week?
So you want to start first? Or you?
No, you go.
What made me laugh this week? What made me laugh this week? Oh, my gosh, so many things. You know what, I don't know if it made me laugh a little bit, but there was a song that I really wanted to remember what it was, from 2005, 2006, I couldn't remember at all. I couldn't remember the name, I couldn't remember who sang it, it was in Russian, and 2 days later my client is like, oh, you know this song I wanted to share with you, and she tells me the song, and I started laughing, because I'm like, oh my God, how funny is that, the universe is listening, and it made me so happy.
Yes, that collective conscience. Well, you make me laugh. You make me feel joy. So thank you all for joining us at the Question Bar. We will see you next week. Go forward, be peaceful, be proud, be full of love, and we will talk to you soon. Thank you.